Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today once again by the industrious Janine Gagliardi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Today's episode is about in-flight entertainment.
IFE, as they call it in the biz.
Yes.
No one calls it IFE.
Yeah.
So if you're talking to someone who calls it that, they don't know what the hell they're talking
about. So we're talking about IFE, and this was your idea.
Mm-hmm.
I've only flown maybe 6 or 7 times. Mm-hmm. No, it's got to be, no, Mike, it's got to be an even number.
Unless you rented a car and came back because you're so upset.
Maybe 6 to 8 times.
Okay.
And my personal experience is, because I don't like flying and I feel like we're spitting in the face of God, that any in-flight entertainment is just one of the myriad things that I'm using to distract myself from being in a death tube.
Yeah.
Like that, or the little drinks, or the little peanuts, or the sneaking out farts, or whatever it is you do on a plane, reading a magazine that's got nothing in it that you care about.
Mm-hmm.
Or a movie. Let's watch. Sure. What movie we're watching doesn't matter. Is it a movie of me dying in this plane? Good. Then let's watch it.
Well, all right. So I had this on my list of ideas because I read an article once about how people have heightened emotional responses to movies that they see on airplanes. And I mean, we're going to get into it, but there's like 5 reasons why.
Okay. I'm so excited because I've been wondering what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Or any of them, spoiler alert, or any of them because you feel vulnerable?
Yes.
Because you feel like you might die?
Yes. 100%. Yep.
Okay, awesome.
Big time. Well, it's not 100% of the reason. I just said there were 5, but it's one of the 5, and it's a big one. That was why. And then you sort of came at me with the, well, let's talk about the history of it a little bit, which is actually very interesting also.
Right, which I didn't know anything about before I read some of the stuff we read.
Very cool. And then the other thing is sort of like, what are the rules of an airplane movie? Because we can talk about like when it was more like a movie theater experience.
Right, one screen projecting.
Right.
Which now the experience is almost like you have an iPad that's part of the back of the person in front of your seat.
On some airlines like Southwest, I mean, you know, they're a little bare bones. They just allow you your device. And then give you some access to some streaming services. Like there's Dish TV or something that you can get on your flight.
Okay.
But mostly it just allows you to have, they don't even have the screens on the seats.
Oh, okay.
But most airlines do now. But so like tracking that and then sort of like, what are the rules in terms of like, what's appropriate content to watch?
Right. Because I remember a few years ago, they cut out a girl love scene from Booksmart.
Okay.
And it wasn't a graphic scene. There's no nudity in it. Mm. It's a pretty sweet like scene of like two young girls who are like awkward.
Mm.
It was more a comedy scene, but I guess they were like, nope. You know, it's even more censored than network television. Mm. It's like,
oh yeah,
like
very much
nothing,
so
anything can be. Yeah.
They also have very, very strict rules because you figure they fly everywhere. So
for
the cultures that they're flying to and from, they have to edit out certain specific things.
Pigs.
Pigs.
Sorry, Nicolas Cage. Your new film, Pig, will not be able to be screened
on any flight going to an Islamic country.
Yeah.
So,
can you imagine?
I don't know.
Blank in the city. Blank two, blank in the city. What is this movie about? It's 10 minutes long.
It's just like all the characters with a lot of duck time and dog time. And
it's just James Cromwell talking to the linoleum.
Oh my God.
Is there a ghost?
People walk away with a very different feeling. And then also just like recommendations. Like you watch whatever you want now because you are on your own device typically.
Right.
But should you watch anything? And that's another aspect of it. So if you want to start with the history of it?
Sure.
We'll get into it. Okay. So I'm going to bring you back. I have a timeline. So
let's go back.
I was just asking Mike about the Hindenburg because he's my expert. And to see, I'm like, did the Hindenburg fly more than one flight? And it did at least 17 flights. Transatlantic flights.
Wow.
Super excited. That's so cool to me. That's really awesome. I never knew
that. I really wish we hadn't wimped out after the disaster.
I know.
One disaster and we just give up on a whole industry?
No. No. That's not the way to do it. We're going to bring it back. We'll bring it back.
Yeah.
Well, in any event, it did not start with the Hindenburg. It started in 1921, which is really cool because you figure flight is only in the early 1900s.
Right. You don't have TV yet.
Yeah. Well, for as long as, almost as long as there have been flights or commercial flights, there have been movies on flights.
Right, right.
It's actually a really integral part of the experience of flying is like in-flight entertainment, which is wild. And it wasn't easy to do back then. So you figure...
Right.
Now, I don't know if you... I don't know anything about this. If you know the significance of like the millimeters on the film.
Well, yeah.
Okay. So it was a 35 millimeter suitcase projector, a DeVry projector. It was in 1921. It was on, it was strapped to a table and they showed a film called Howdy Chicago, which was produced by the Chicago Chamber of Commerce. And it was a silent film. It ran for
if it was 1921, it'd have to be.
Well, it'd have to be. But it was fine because the engines at the time were so loud, you wouldn't have been able to hear it anyway. So that was the very first in-flight
film. It sounds like it was some sort of propaganda.
I feel like they were flying to Chicago, so everyone was like, I know, I'm going there.
Right, right. Like, come visit Chicago.
We're going to visit Chicago.
We're there.
Where
it's like
we
when
are.
You go to a movie and you see the trailer for the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, that sometimes happens even now, and you're like, I'm fucking here. I did it.
Hello. Yes. So that was the very, very first
that
film.
That is crazy. 35 millimeter is the, well, it was before digital, like, the standard that you'd see. That they would both film on and project.
Okay.
And, but that had to have been a short film because 35 can get heavy.
It was less than 10 minutes. So, okay, yeah, very, very short. One would even ask why bother showing and bringing all that equipment onto the plane.
Right,
but
right.
I guess it's just,
it's also very flammable.
Yeah, highly flammable.
Yeah.
So then you have other forms of entertainment sort of take over because it wasn't super easy to show a film and also the flammability wasn't great. And
right.
so once the FAA was established, it didn't meet any of the guidelines.
Right.
And so that's when we go into the 1930s. The airships and Zeppelin craze came about for a few years. And that's when the Hindenburg showed up. And I was in my research of this. It's like all in-flight entertainment, not just movies. And so I just had to do a little deviation because they had a piano lounge aboard the Hindenburg,
amazing.
Which is just to entertain the guests while they flew.
That seems like, when you think about that, that's a real extension of what they were doing on trains.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
Like, let's bring train car concept into planes.
Yeah. And they did transatlantic flights, so 10.5-hour flights.
Oh, my God.
On Zeppelins with, like, what I imagine are like very glamorous people hanging out at a piano lounge. It's just like, it's real steampunk. It's like really,
right.
you know, what was this happened at one point in our history, which is wild.
But it can't be for 10 hours straight. It had to be like shifts, right?
I'm sure the piano player wasn't. I'm sure they'd sleep at some point. I now, this has awoken within me a fascination with the Hindenburg. And now I need to do like a ton of research
separately.
Because I just
imagine a lady with
like, where did they sleep? What were the compartments like?
Right,
what was the seating
right.
like? What was takeoff like? Oh. That's exciting.
I imagine like a lady in a red dress, like leaning on the piano.
I'm just imagining people in furs.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, we have to.
We'll never die.
Oh my gosh. So cool. And then I saw this really, really cool article with pictures from catalogs, like airplane catalogs from the 1950s.
Yeah.
Still really hadn't perfected film on board.
Sure.
But so they would try to entertain the flyers with other things. So they relied heavily on alcohol.
Yep.
Most planes had full bars.
Sure, sure.
Like they had a lot of problems with it, actually, because people would just get totally boxed and, you know, sexually harass and assault the flight attendants, vomit everywhere, all that good stuff.
I saw a video. Was it a video or... I don't know. I don't remember what it was, but it was a thing I saw the other day on the interwebs, and it was flight attendants back when they were stewardesses, and I think it was Pan Am, and you saw them getting on. This is horrible. You saw them getting on scales to have their weight checked.
Oh, well, they still have a lot of rules about appearance in flight
but
attendants.
But it can't be you got to be thin, honey. It's got to be
some
like,
airlines. I don't know. I feel like Virgin in the beginning was pushing for like having like models as flight attendants. And
see, this blows my. What is the legality of this? Let's take a side note.
Okay.
I digression. I went to Hooters not that long ago.
Sure.
And Hooters is so weird. Like, yeah. if you haven't been there or if you haven't been there lately, go in 2021 and just be like, first of all, these are all teenagers. These are kids. How? Like, how is this cool? Like, how do they hire people? Mm. How is this allowed? How is this a family chain restaurant?
It's a family chain?
Yeah.
Is it marketed as a family chain?
I think so.
No, couldn't be.
What is it marketed as?
Like a boob restaurant for boobs.
No, it's like an Applebee's. a restaurant buying for
Which
boobs.
I assumed sold owl wings because they're really always pushing their wings and it's and called it's, Hooters. It's so,
and it's weird because you go.
I have been once in Atlantic City. Was it with? Okay. Yeah, so I won't say their name. Not that they listen, but in case. And it was a bizarre experience. This person we were with suggested it, that we go for dinner. So we went, and I was like, yeah, sure, it'll be like a lark, like neither of us had ever been.
It's okay, Applebee's level food.
Yes, the wings were fine. And just in the middle of our meal, our waitress, who was very nice, just began hula hooping next to our table. It was just the strangest
thing.
Like,
how is this okay?
I was like, ma'am?
Yeah. It's insane. Anyway.
Oh.
Back to in-flight entertainment.
In any event.
Did they ever have things like burlesque shows on or like plays? Did they ever do like a full-on play?
They never
play?
Did plays, as far as I know.
They do plays on like boats or like,
sure.
on, like yachts and stuff. Not yachts, I mean.
Entertainment is like completely next level. I mean, they have like go-kart tracks and stuff now.
Crazy.
But in any event, they relied heavily on alcohol. They used to call in-flight entertainment scotch and a pillow.
Okay.
And then making the meals very grand, even in economy class. So they'd serve like afternoon tea and like do the whole tea service.
Oh, wow.
Like even in the 1950s, like this was happening. They'd make their like just their regular in-flight meals, like have courses. So that's how the people were entertained. They'd just be eating.
I wish they still did. JetBlue's like, hey, you want blue chips? Here you go, dick. Throw them in your face.
Listen, if they give you a stroopwafel cookie, that's the good one.
Yeah, those are good.
Playing cards.
Okay.
Board games. They would do board games.
Ooh.
Wait.
Was it like how do you do that? Were the seats different back then? Was it like train sitting?
No, you would see it in the catalog that they had across the three seats, like a checkerboard out. So it would just be balanced on the seats and they'd play like that. A lot of promo picks have kids building houses of cards
on a plane
right, because of the smoothness of the new jet engines.
Ooh.
So that was part of it, but in 1961 they stopped with all that noise and they started showing movies on film.
Sure.
So 1961, sure.
But they did not stop plying you with alcohol.
No, they didn't. That way you could heckle and jeer really loudly. Yeah. On the plane. In-flight motion pictures developed a projector that met the FAA standards. It weighed 75 pounds, held film on a single reel, and was held in the life raft compartment. TWA was the first airline to regularly show a movie, and it was a big part of their advertising campaign.
Wow.
That you have movies, this is the wave of the future, which is really cool because you figure 1961 started like the space age. You know, it's like we're all about the future. We show movies on planes. This is like the way things are going to be. It was projector style, like one screen.
And you know, you think about like the markers of modernity, like both the plane and the movie are both all you need to do is like, we're going to give you x-rays in here.
Yeah.
We've got all of modernity.
Yeah.
Right. You've got electricity.
Right. If a lady could get like their hair blown out with one of those like big, like circular, like those big round hair dryers on a plane, that would be like the perfect 1960s cap on this visual. Weirdly, the movie they showed was the same all the time.
Okay.
It was Lana Turner's By Love Possessed, which we'll talk about the rules of movies later, but it's like, it broke all the rules immediately. It's a steamy movie. It's like about a woman who has an affair with her husband's law partner because her husband is impotent.
What?
And they were showing this on air, like on
Holy
all their flights
shit.
In 1961.
That is wild.
Crazy.
That's
just
wild.
Crazy. It was like a sultry film.
It?
People were probably like with their brown paper bags full of beer and just like their trench coats being gross.
Like there's a meeting like, we've got to change the film because we've just had way too many people jerking it. We have to steam the whole plane like once a week. It smells like a public pool in there.
That's in addition to the people who are just jerking it because they were drunk.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So, and that's pretty much how it goes. They only ever show that one movie until the 1980s.
So wait, do you know, I remember, I'm old enough to remember when I was a little kid being on a flight where there was the one screening.
Yeah.
But you had to, at that point, you couldn't hear it. You had to pay for headphones.
Yeah.
So if you didn't pay for headphones and you were cheap, you could just watch a movie with, and I don't know, make up what you think they're saying.
Right, yeah. Or if you'd seen it a bunch, you'd be like, I'm not going to pay for that. I already saw it.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder, was it, do you know, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but was it like that? Or did they actually play the
in
sound?
In 1961, no, it wasn't. I believe they just played the sound in the whole something. Yeah, yeah. And if you heard it, you heard it. Because I imagine the engines were still pretty loud. I mean, they're loud now. So
Right.
In 1980, cathode ray tube projectors, so CRT projectors, headphones, video cassettes, and laser discs made it onto airplanes. And that's when you had your own like listening experience. Oh, okay. And once that happened, then it was like, you know, you pretty much had your rotation of movies on planes.
Right. At some point, it became part of the rollout of Hollywood. Like you would, you know, it would be somewhere in that chain of like theatrical VHS.
Pretty close to the release in theaters. You can see it on an airplane. Still, I mean, they have deals. I don't, who knows these days now with everybody's own devices, but they would get it like a few weeks after it would be in theaters.
Yeah.
I think it was like 45 days.
Oh, wow.
Like 90? No. Maybe more than that. But in any event, you'd be able to see it on a plane, like if you hadn't seen it in a theater before it came to video cassette, which was like a year after.
But at the beginning, it sometimes could be a whole year.
Yeah.
Or not at all. It was like a paperback. It was like, it might happen. Like if it, you know what I mean? Like there's a lot of things that got lost in the VHS.
Oh, I'm sure. Things just didn't go to video.
Yeah, we just don't need. And then the next round, things went to video, but then they never made it anywhere else.
Mm. In my lifetime, they were doing the projectors still. But 1988 is when they started the seatback screens.
Really? That early?
That early. British Airways did a 4-month trial run of in-seatback screens to see if it would increase flyers to go on their airline. And it did by like a lot. And so they just...
But they
implemented
didn't have flat
it.
Screens then. So how is that possible?
I think it like went like into the head of like you figure it would go into the cushioning, I guess, in front of it.
That sounds horrible.
I know. So
it sounds very heavy. This plane weighs twice the amount of a normal plane.
In any event, that's when it started in 88. But most planes didn't have it in 88. It was just something they decided to add. The last movie I remember seeing on like the one singular screen was on a flight. I want to say it was like on a flight to Portugal or something. It was The Matrix. They were showing The Matrix.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I feel like...
It.
Oh, really?
Because I had seen it.
Do you remember what they cut out?
They cut out some curses, like just some profanity.
See, I feel like that's such an existential movie. Like, I would be like, I don't want to watch that on
a plane.
I don't want to think about the nature.
Because
what if some fool's just like, nothing is anything, and just opens up the door and just flies out?
In any event, there are still, and there were a lot of rules about what you could show, and some of them were like, you can't depict a plane crash.
Yeah. 101.
You can't, certain airlines would have rules like you can't depict a competitor's airline.
Interesting.
You can't, like, just, you know, gratuitous sex or just very explicit sex scenes. So you're not, gory violence, things like that. It had to be, I would say it had to fall in the PG-13 or less category, most likely.
Probably less, really.
Yeah. Although, you know, they would show things like, I feel like they showed, I don't remember if it was like Bull Durham or like Tin Cup a lot on flights when I was younger. I feel like that was always on.
Well, there was a time in like the 90s where like, if it was a comedy, there was sexiness in it. You couldn't get away from it.
Yeah. Or it's like, I feel like sports movies they would do. All right. So that's pretty much how it goes. Seatback screens. Then they go to LED screens, they go to, you know, flat screens in the headrest. And then, 2008, you get in-flight internet. And then 2010, most flights
begin. That's late.
Yeah.
2008. Yeah. Wow.
And then 2010, most flights begin allowing people to just use their own devices on the plane.
Okay. Right now, that's really interesting. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Right now, I'm looking up the first movie I saw on a plane. Mm-hmm. Was a Dolly Parton movie.
Really?
And I don't remember what it's called, but it's, so I'm trying to look it up. It's basically like she plays a radio host who like starts a country radio station, or maybe it's a talk radio station. I feel like I want to say talk radio, but that's the name of a sitcom, right? So that's not it. No, that's news radio.
News radio, yeah.
By the way, this IMDb, Dolly Parton has
just under the credits.
Just under the as herself. Oh, wow. Banner, 515 appearances.
Oh my god.
I haven't even gotten into the performing as an actress.
Jeez.
Archival footage. Oh my god. What a career. What a career. She's great.
She's wonderful. She paid for the Moderna vaccine. Thanks, Dolly.
She gets she pays for like books for kids and like she's like an incredible person. And conservatives actually like turned their back on her recently.
Really?
Right, because she was just like, I don't care about gay people getting married.
It's called Straight Talk.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. How the hell did you get it?
Because I looked up Dolly Parton radio station movie.
Smart. Who else is in this? Oh, we got, oh boy, what a handsome cast. We've got Fleischer, the guy who's also, he's the voice of Roger Rabbit, Charles Fleischer.
Oh my God.
James Woods, not Edwards. James Woods and, what's his name? Griffin Dunn.
Oh, Griffin Dunn. Okay.
Yeah.
Who Carrie Fisher lost her virginity to.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. They say it on that Debbie Reynolds, Carrie Fisher documentary.
Incredible. Incredible. So what a handsome crew of gentlemen.
Dolly could do better than all of them put together.
I know. Wow. So yeah, we watched that.
Wonderful.
There was a sex scene, or there was a scene of implied sex where like they close a door.
Oh, okay.
I wonder
safe.
If in the real movie they bone, but just in the version I saw,
you would
they
never
close
know.
The door. Right, because I never heard of that movie ever again.
Do you have a particular memory of any movie besides that one?
You and me were on a plane once and we watched Blades of Glory.
Did we?
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's a really bad movie.
I remember almost nothing about it.
I wonder if, do you think watching bad movies on a plane makes them worse? Or does it make them a little bit better because at least it's something?
Mm.
I don't know, something about a bad movie on a plane. Because it's almost like you just want to tell the movie to stop. Shh.
Enough. I have enough on my plate right now. Yeah. Trying to keep us all alive with my mind. just my intense focus of keeping this airplane in the sky. Well, okay, so the Thrillist article I was reading about why you shouldn't watch a good movie on a plane is basically because like you are distracted either by your own nerves or by the sounds, people right. like other passengers like getting up, moving, flight attendants asking you if you wanted beverage or, you know,
right.
snack cart or whatever it is. Announcements happening.
Yeah.
That you're never going to have like a good viewing of a film.
Right.
And so that's why you shouldn't watch a good movie because it deserves your attention. And then they weren't really talking about bad movies, but they were talking, the author of that article suggested that you should watch dumb movies that like don't require a ton of thought and that will just entertain you sort of mindlessly.
I remember on a flight watching an episode of Mr. Bean.
Okay. Oh my God. No, they used to show Mr. Beans a lot. Like that was an option.
But that was
like
really
before
good.
The Big Bang Theory, they would just have Mr. Right. Beans.
But wasn't it perfect? Cause it was like basically silent comedy because he wasn't speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just slapstick stuff.
Yeah.
I remember enjoying Mr. Bean a lot in that viewing.
Me too. I think most of my memories of Mr. Bean are from planes, actually, that you bring it up. That's so funny. It's funny. When they first did the in-flight, like the on-screen, or no. Was it 1961? I'm not sure. One of the, like the new advances with film on airplanes, they reported fewer trips to the bathroom overall by passengers.
Interesting. Yeah. That means less jerking.
I guess they weren't sure on that Lana Turner one. But so that's interesting. But it's one of those things where I don't necessarily agree that you should watch a dumb movie. Like certainly something that you don't want to pay attention to. Although I do find that I want something new. Like I don't want to watch something that I've seen a million times.
Why? Because I'm the opposite.
Okay. So you'd think I would find comfort in watching the same thing.
Right.
Or that I know what to expect. But I find that my attention needs to be held a little bit by whatever right. I'm watching.
So something so, new you're actually
yeah,
watching.
Yeah, so I'm paying attention to it. And I feel like with something I know, I become way more easily distracted.
But what about this? What about like you're on a flight now where, you know, it's like Netflix. You have a choice of things. Mm-hmm. And you see a movie you haven't seen yet, but you really wanted to see it. Mm-hmm. Do you blow it on a plane? Or do you go, no, I really want to see that. Let me wait until I'm home.
I've made this mistake before. So I would wait now. Because once I was on, I was coming back. I was on a transatlantic flight. Mm-hmm. And I saw they had Eternal Sunshine. And it was like right after it was released. God. And I was like, great. I have all this time to watch it. And I couldn't get through the first 10 minutes of that movie. And it's one of my favorite movies. Yeah. Or it was one of my favorite movies after I saw it.
Right. Of course.
And I couldn't get into it at all because it was just too many distractions. Like, you're not in the right headspace. It's a weird
planes are weird
crazy movie, and it's just I didn't know what the hell was happening.
Right.
Just I had to turn it off.
Did and you I was know like, it was because of that? Like, did you go home and go, okay, well, I'm not going to judge that movie.
I
or did you like have a year where you were like, that movie sucks?
Yes, I had a year where I was like, no, I couldn't get into it. And thinking... Like,
really, what did you say?
Right, exactly. No, exactly. And that was part of the article too. It was like, talk to a person who watched a movie that you really think is fantastic. And you think it's like objectively fantastic. And so you're like, say for instance, oh, didn't you love Mad Max Fury Road? And they're like, eh. And you're right. Like, really? It was such a spectacle. It was like really cool. And it like, and it's not like they just don't like that type of movie. They're just right. Like, oh, I just wasn't wowed by it, you know. And you're like, where did you see it? They're like, I caught it on a plane. Yeah. You know, I didn't even finish it. And you're like, okay, you can't right. watch that movie no, on can't. A plane. You really can't.
Right. First of all, they're small screens anyway.
Very small screens.
So it's like watching a movie, you know, on a tablet or phone. And I know people do that all the time.
Yes. So if you're watching a movie that was
but you also have
the
sound and children and it smells. And I mean,
right.
I hate
no, there's
planes.
A lot of, yeah.
As someone with OCD, everything grosses me out. I know that they're not washing enough things.
And this is, we're talking pre-COVID because I haven't been on a flight since.
No, you know? Neither have I.
Yeah. So it has nothing to do with that aspect of it now either.
Oh, wait. No, it's going to be worse now.
It's much worse.
I haven't been on a train since COVID either. Have you?
I haven't. I mean, besides the
bougie.
Subway, I don't really go on trains.
Here comes bougie alert. I haven't been on a train.
I saw a train from the airplane I was on.
I haven't been on a train since 1999.
It disgusted me.
I told the train passengers, don't look me in the eyes.
Truthfully, I think I was on a train that wasn't the subway once, maybe twice.
Oh, no, I never was. No, I never did that. I want to. Oh, no, that's when I was in England, I was on a train and I was like, this is so nice.
Oh,
why can't we have nice things?
Wait. Okay, what kind of train were you on? Because I took the train from Gatwick into London and that was not nice.
It was
just
like,
gross.
It was basically it wasn't underground, but it was the equivalent of a subway because all it was taking me was from like the country to like where the shops are. It was like 20 minutes, multiple stops. I was in a hotel or a bed and breakfast like this was in Manchester, England. I was like in the rural area and I wanted to go to the square where like all the stuff is. And it was like, so it was like not a, it wasn't palatial, but it wasn't gross. Like things are here. Like you look at our stuff and it's like, why are we gross? Why is America gross? Why do we accept grossness?
I don't know. I think I think it does depend because I've seen some, I don't know. I was on the London train, didn't think anything of it. I was like, like home. It's just as gross. It's a city train, you know. It's
well, the worst would be like on like a day where it was raining and like so you get like that froth, that like that steamy condensation in like a train. And,
oh, no thanks.
Oh, but you know, the train or the subway is really great training for standing, sleeping while you're standing up. If you ever want to learn that meditation practice of how do I leave my body while standing?
Oh God, no. I mean, I know some people must do it, but I don't know too many women who do that because they just want to see where everyone's hands are.
I get you. I've got privilege.
Or if someone's,
no one wants to touch
or someone's jacking it right next to them. I just got off a flight.
Have you ever been in a train with a jacker?
Not that I know of, thank God. But I think I would.
I think once
I
was.
I would scream at them.
I think once I was.
I know people feel, you know, very afraid and like threatened in that situation, but. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've seen some really horrible behavior on trains. I haven't seen that. I just feel like I would just yell. Like what?
Right. No,
what
I think that's what
who
happened.
Who do you think you are?
Right, right.
Out of here.
You're right. Yeah. I remember a train ride with like these kids were like screaming and Like, there's nothing you can do in that situation. It's like the episode of Community with the kids that are making fun of them. And there's no way to win because mm-hmm. they're younger than you, so they're just going to make fun of you.
Right, right.
But I didn't say anything. But I wanted to be like, this bit's not funny. Like, the you being loud on this train bit, first of all, we all see the effort. Mm-hmm. Like, we can smell the effort in this bit. So you're not coming off smooth. Anyway, that was all in my head. I ended up just taking it.
I just ended up apologizing to them.
I'm sorry. What were you saying? You were screaming a Bon Jovi song?
Oh, my God. Youths.
I know. Well, oh, they're the worst.
Oh, God, they are the worst.
Anyway, I don't take the train to work anymore, so I win.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
Or in any event, watching movies on planes, like, what's the magic formula, right?
Right.
Like,
what is it? Yeah.
I don't know. I think it has to be. So I've described Hidden Figures as my perfect airplane movie. I watched it on a flight to California.
Okay.
I didn't feel like, oh, I'm going to miss something if I walked away to the bathroom, because right. I kind of figured the story was pretty straightforward.
Right.
It was good enough to hold my attention. I mean, it is an Oscar nominated movie, but it's like, it has been described as Lifetime movie-ish, and it, I get that.
I've actually never seen the whole thing.
It tells a very important story. The acting's really good, but I feel like it works on two levels. One, it's not, well, I shouldn't say the stakes aren't high, because they were very high for those women, but it's good.
Anything that far in the past, the stakes aren't high.
Well, it's true, because you know, like, what happens, right? You already know what happened. Did they, though? No.
My privilege is showing.
You figure, you kind of know how it ends, so it's a safe ride. The whole they paint in broad emotional strokes, and that I knew nothing was going to be like a crazy gut punch.
Right.
And the other thing was, even though the movie looks good the entire time, yeah. it's not a movie that's supposed to be like a real visual spectacle. And so I didn't feel like I was missing anything. And so it sort of checked all the boxes where it's like easy watching. It's a good enough story that I'm like, okay, yeah, I want to come back to this and continue watching it. And it's nothing that's going to like really upset me or make me feel like I'm missing out on like a big theatrical experience.
Okay, that is a good formula. Mm. That is a good formula.
So I would say, now I have to ask Bill, would you say The Founder was the same way?
Absolutely.
Okay. So on that same flight, Bill watched The Founder.
I can see that. I've seen The Founder not on a plane, mm-hmm. but I can see it being a good.
Right. You're like, I know how this works out.
Oh, I think we're this is only two. This is a very small data set to work with, but I think we're kind of coming up with a formula. It has to be kind of like a historical movie.
Right.
That like something that has already happened.
Something that's mildly interesting.
That's interesting enough. Like, hey, but you the stakes see a movie are relatively
about the guy
low.
Who, made in McDonald's.
Yeah.
I don't not.
It's good, you know. Like, yeah. I'll only watch it on a plane because I'll always pick something else over it if I'm not on a plane.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind this movie.
Right, but here's the thing. The last time I was on a plane, I went for things that I like already because I was like, oh, that'll make me feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to admit that I didn't watch them for long because I couldn't keep my attention.
Right,
so maybe that was I remember I watched Deadpool. I put on Deadpool because mm-hmm. like, oh, I love Deadpool. I've seen it a million times. This is funny. I can look at Deadpool. It's visual appealing. There's a lot of the color red in it. And I think they cut out like his language is like,
sure, I'm sure
it's just a silent film now. But no, like I ended up not being able to pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. So we ended up me and Jen together watched The Greatest Showman.
That would be a good plane movie if you've never seen it before.
Well, that's a musical. Do you think musicals are good on planes?
I mean, I'm not a huge musical person anyway, but yeah, I could see it being fine.
I had seen it before and she hadn't.
Mm-hmm. You know what, though? I think I started Les Mis and turned it off on a flight.
I feel like that's a hard movie to do for...
Because it was just like a lot of sung dialogue and I'm like, I cannot follow this. I'm missing the story. Yeah. Whereas like Greatest Showman, I don't think you're missing the story.
Right. Again, historical figure that you kind of give
like,
a shit
about.
But you're
like, who gives a shit? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, it's a...
Ooh, we're developing a formula for a perfect airline movie.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to sell this to the airlines. Be like, you're going to be... They'll be like, no, because everyone's just looking at their phone. No one cares.
Yeah.
Like, all right, fine.
Yeah, right.
Sorry to waste your time.
If there ever was a company that was like, we only make movies for airplanes.
Oh.
That's our thing.
Like those like Christian production companies that just...
Actually, I was thinking more like Troma, but yeah.
Troma only make, you know what, that was their mission statement. They just are horrible at it.
Yeah, yeah. Turns out we can't show even they're a like, scene.
Nobody wants these movies on the planes. In fact, we'll pay you to keep them off a plane.
Do you know they're remaking Toxic Avenger?
Oh, I just see Bill nodding in the corner over there. No, I did not. The mystery.
I saw the Suicide Squad and what's his name? Lloyd Kaufman was in it because he has a cameo in every.
What's it called? The
James Gunn
James
movie.
James Gunn movie. Yeah, because he gave him his start, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's nice. How'd you like it?
I loved it.
Would you have watched it on a plane?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you mean would I have liked it on a plane or would I have chosen to watch it on a plane?
Did you like the first one?
Did not see the first one, but I did see Harley Quinn and I like that.
Okay, well, haven't seen Harley Quinn.
So I would have been like, oh, let me watch this because it has a character I already know I like.
Okay, okay. Did we watch the first one on a plane? We might have, actually.
And you walked out.
I walked out. I think we watched Suicide Squad on a plane, actually. And I love these long flights. You can get like two movies in. Right. We did Suicide Squad on the way back, actually. That's funny you should bring it up. So
did you hate it?
No, I liked it. And I knew...
See, most people hate it.
Most people hate it, but I liked it. I thought it was just fine. It's better on a plane.
Yeah, maybe. Mm. Or, you know, I haven't seen it. I've heard other people describe it as just fine.
Yeah.
I wonder if a lot of its hate comes from Jared Leto hate.
I didn't like his performance. I thought his performance was weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I imagine
like
so.
Try hard and just...
Well, he's not the new one.
Good. But he's...
But fan of the show. What's his name? Is in the new one.
Oh, yeah. David Desmalchian.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always say that. I'm like, fan of PZMC.
Yeah. Or he knows somebody who is...
Yeah, that's so wild. Unless he just like searched.
I have no idea.
He's a search term. But he found us in any event. And he's in that movie as Polka Dot Man. So go out and see it and support our friend David.
Yeah.
Whom we love.
It wasn't, his name wasn't in the description of the show, I don't think. So it couldn't have come up on our search. Somebody had to have heard it and told him.
Did you do like a hashtag for Count Crowley? Because I think it was in one of the pictures that you used on the Instagram.
Maybe. But then he quoted something we said in the show.
Yes, that he had so he had listened to that part of it at least.
Right.
He has heard our voices.
Anyway, support him.
Please support him.
He's
we love
great
him.
In it. Oh, everyone's
we love
great
him.
In it.
We love him. I really do. I think he's a fine actor.
And
not a just fine actor. Like, I think he's good. I like him.
And James Gunn's brother is Sean Gunn, who played Kirk in Gilmore Girls. So he's always in.
Sure.
He's in every one of his movies. So
okay.
And we're still going through all the Gilmore Girls. So we were like, what do you think Kirk's going to play in this? They end up playing Weasel.
All right. Okay. So let's talk about heightened emotional responses on airplanes.
Wait, before we get to that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What was the best movie you've seen? Like a movie where you're like, wow, that was a great experience. And I happened to be on a plane. Has that ever happened?
I would say Hidden Figures is the one I keep coming back to because I remembered it enough that I was like, oh, no, it was good. And I was really happy about it. Whereas I feel like.
And you had not seen it before.
I hadn't seen it before. Okay. And it was during like Oscars season. So people were talking about like different movies a lot. And they were like, oh, I was sort of like whelmed by Hidden Figures. And I had like really nice things to say about it. And I felt like part of that experience was. It was a very good plane movie. But I once watched I Am Sam on a flight, and that movie is really bad, but also I was bawling.
Really?
Yeah, even though it's bad. Like, I've not seen it since. I think it's not good, but it made me cry a lot.
I have no idea what I would say about it. I remember loving it when I saw it when it first came out, but now I work with individuals with developmental disabilities. So I wonder if now I would find it unrealistic and offensive.
The premise is ludicrous. It's that so Sean Penn plays an intellectually disabled man who has a baby with a homeless woman who is suffering from like also extreme mental illness and like abandons the baby at the hospital, but he somehow kept in touch with this woman.
There was a homeless woman
involved. A homeless woman, yes. So you're sort of first of all questioning how did that happen number one, and also how did he like keep in touch with her through to know that she was pregnant or about to have a baby and like accompanied her to the hospital. And then she like abandoned the baby at the hospital, so it was put in his care, but he's very clearly developmentally disabled.
Right.
And the premise is that he now had to find a lawyer to fight for his right to keep his daughter because he has the mental age of like a 7-year-old or something. Uh-huh. And once she turns 8, they're going to take her from him because she's mentally older than him. Because a 7-year-old can take care of a newborn and like right. care for an infant. And it's just the premise is absolutely insane.
That's ludicrous.
It is bananas.
Wow.
And like,
I remember seeing it and crying.
I cried so much at this movie, even all the while thinking, what is this movie even talking about? It's so stupid. Right.
Well, you hear stories of people like crying at commercials on planes.
Yeah.
Crying at like, you know, a good episode of Family Ties on a plane.
So, all right.
Yeah, let's get into that.
Okay. So the heightened emotional responses. So there is a study from 1988. So oddly enough, the same year, that they put the in-seat screens in, that decreased oxygen and mild hypoxia that people experience at high altitudes has a severe effect on moods. This is something that airline crew experience a lot. It's like they have like really big mood swings in terms of like emotional responses to things. Wow. So they cry a lot. It's something that happens
a nightmare job
for being like on planes all the time. So like pilots and stuff. Hypoxia is lack of oxygen, right? A lack of. So there's like that's always a mild effect on an airplane because you're just up so high.
Okay, I see.
You're not gonna get sick
if you live like at a high altitude. Is your whole life like that?
I guess.
Are movies more?
Are movies always more? Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I wonder. Huh?
They used to have the Aspen Comedy Festival, and I wonder if people were more apt to laugh.
Wow.
At that altitude.
Oh, that's so weird because you're just like a little. You're dying a little.
Yeah, so you're like, oh, this is funny.
Might as well laugh.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one potential reason that you're having like bigger emotional responses to things.
Because your body's like, I can't breathe.
I can't breathe. I'm just going to cry.
Okay, that makes sense.
So then there's some other reasons. So you figure potentially the sentimental issues that you might be traveling are affecting your viewing of a movie.
Right. If you're going home to see your sick relative or somebody died, absolutely. Yeah.
Or you're just going home to visit your relatives after a long time away. Yeah. You're traveling to see a loved one. You just came back from a very romantic, you know, honeymoon or something.
Yeah,
often travel has a lot of sentimental value to it. Yeah. And that's possibly why people have stronger emotional responses. Traveling can increase oxytocin levels, especially when traveling with loved ones. It's the same reason couples have more sex on vacation. It's just like traveling creates like a real, it's a vibe.
It's a vibe.
It's a vibe. So then there's another one, which I really identify with. By the time you sit down on the plane to watch the movie, you have been stressed all day.
Sure.
And that is the one time when like you finally, well, I don't relax, but you know, you're sitting and you have no place else to go. Yeah. And so all that stress comes out through your eyeballs basically while you're watching something.
And you're saying this is why you might cry.
Right. That it's like a cathartic effect of being stressed all day.
Out.
Yeah.
It's coming out.
Of just like the travel stress that you figure you experience.
Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
So then this is actually a quote from a filmmaker who made 2 documentaries in the last few years. I can't remember. But the author of the article was like, I had watched it on a flight recently and cried a lot. He actually argues for the value of watching a movie on a plane. He said, people on planes are listening on headphones. For a filmmaker, that's almost preferable to a theater because it creates such an immersive experience. I want to create a way to replicate the way I felt when I experienced something. The intention isn't to make someone cry necessarily, but in some cases, the isolation of being on a plane helps create that experience. So like being on a plane is sort of like a weirdly lonely experience where you're alone in your seat, like especially if you're traveling alone, I guess.
Right, right.
But like you're next to people, but you don't know them and you're not necessarily talking to them and you're like watching your own thing with headphones in.
Yeah.
So that it's a really intense experience. He's arguing it's actually an intense experience with fewer distractions because you can't do anything
else. You can't really go anywhere else.
Yeah.
You can be lost in your own mind, but you can't like get up and do laundry, you're on a plane.
Right. Like, there's no other pressing matters that you have to deal with because you're just traveling. That's all you can do. I would argue the opposite. I find myself very distracted on planes, but I can see why this would, so someone would feel this way. I guess once you get into something on a plane, then you're just in it.
Right.
Like, if you don't want to be distracted, you don't have to be.
Right. What's the longest flight you ever took?
Just transatlantic. I flew to Italy. Spain.
How long did that take?
Let's see. I went on a cruise that took me to Italy on that trip. So let's see. Roughly 7 hours, I would say. Or was California longer? No, about the same. It hovers like at 8. I would say 8. I think we had a flight to California that was 8 once. But yeah, about like 7-8 hours.
Okay. Mm. I think 5 was the longest I ever did. 5 or 6.
Mm. I know. I mean, Nancy went to Australia. That was a big one. LA to Sydney.
Goddamn.
Crazy. No thanks.
New Zealand's like a day or something crazy. Yeah.
I mean, if you're traveling from New York, you're just going. They have direct flights to Hawaii from New York. And I'm like.
Do they really?
They do.
Darn.
You're just like going for a long ass time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the flights you have to like get up and walk around. They like make you. So like you will get a clog. You'll get a clot in your leg or something. Oh my you have God. To like get up and walk.
I'm getting anxious just thinking about it. I feel that would be so hard for me. Mm-mm.
I look at it now. It's funny. Like, I have not taken a single trip with my kids, mostly because, like, you know, we are in the time of COVID.
Right. And your kids are also very young.
My kids are very young. There's no, like, bigger nightmare to me than traveling with, like, an extremely young child or a baby. It's just like, ugh.
And for everyone else.
And for everyone
else. You see a baby come on a plane and you're like,
I know. It's funny. Actually, the last flight I took, I was pregnant with Henry and there was a baby sitting right in front of me and I was like, oh, come on. They were fantastic. They slept most of the time. Just waved at people.
At the end, the baby was like, see, you judge the book by a cover.
That's it.
And I'm a good baby.
Mm-hmm. Maybe your baby will be bad because you're mean.
Because you're clearly a bitch. And you're like, oh, that baby was a little surly.
That baby sucked.
At least it didn't ruin the flight, though.
Yeah, no. I can't imagine right now being on a flight with a kid. But in any event, if we do, I mean, we'd like to take them to Disney, right? Hopefully they won't be like babies at that point. They'll be...
Let's wait till Disney fucking lowers its prices. I don't want to get into Disney, but right now the story with everything is... The prices are higher than ever, and they're giving you less than ever.
Right,
so it's like, what the fucking point?
Yeah.
Anyway.
If I can't meet a character, why am I bringing a child?
Right. I don't want to wave to a character on a fucking balcony. Just because they're roller coaster enthusiasts?
Like, no, they're there to meet their heroes. Kylo Ren.
I know.
My babies love Kylo Ren. No, they want to see, like, Mickey and shit. Like, if you can't do that, then what is the point of bringing a child to Disney World right now?
You could wave to him.
I guess.
Fucking waved.
No thanks.
No thanks.
I need the days of like Snow White grabbing a kid's hand and like frolicking through the park with them. Yeah, I don't know. I want to wait till that happens. But I might be waiting forever. Who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows? Well, we'll see. But in any event, they'll probably be watching something on their like little personal devices or
nonsense.
So I doubt I'll be watching an in-flight movie.
Yeah.
For a while, unless Bill and I take a trip somewhere together by ourselves.
Right.
Then we can sit back and watch whatever new historical movie is available.
I wonder the history of horror movies on planes. Because they probably never showed them like when there was one screen.
Yeah, I doubt
it. But I wonder what the situation now is. Because when you like nowadays, it is just like an iPad or whatever, or a tablet. So it's like... I don't remember if I saw any horror movies or... You're also going to think about other people too, right?
Like... Right, you have to be considerate if you're like sitting next to... Right, although like... I've heard people... I mean, that's something I've heard plenty of times. Like people are on a flight and they like look over at the person next to them and the person's... I've heard of a person saying that someone next to them was watching porn.
Right.
But sometimes it's just like they're watching something like graphically violent that you don't want to see. You're like, I got my kids here. Like, please. I don't want them to catch a glimpse of whatever's happening on your phone right now.
Right. I think I watched The Fly 2 on a plane, or maybe it was Maniac Cop.
Oh wow!
It was on a laptop, and I was coming home from England. I'd gone to an academic conference where the theme was like monsters.
Okay,
but then there was also like a Comic-Con connected to that. Okay. So it was like the academic day. And then anyway, I bought a bunch of like DVDs of like movies that I hadn't seen before. And I think I watched Maniac Cop.
Oh my God.
I might have.
If it's a laptop, that's a pretty big Scanner, screen.
Not Maniac Cop. Oh, Scanners 2 or Scanners Cop. I think Scanners went into the police.
Did they?
I think Scanners that's how that series went.
That's funny.
It was some Cronenbergian movie. And heads explode in those movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was a weird flight because I was between a married couple. There was an old man to my right and an old lady to my left. And they were like, hello. And they were the sweetest people. And I was like, do you want to like sit next to each other? And they were like, nope.
We certainly don't.
We do not, sir. So anyway, I'm still in a throuple with them. but no, it was very, it ended up being lovely, but it was awkward at first because like,
I'm
really?
Sure.
I'm in between two married people. Oh, but they were, God. They were elderly. So yeah. they you know, they could give a shit about each other. I mean, they seem nice, you know what I mean?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's amazing. In addition to making you more emotional, being up in the air makes you more gassy. And so...
okay, I can get that. I see that.
People also experience like mild gas pains and stuff when, while they're up in the air. So I feel like there's a certain level of discomfort. You're always uncomfortable when you're on a plane.
The last time I was on a plane, I was coming home from Florida from Disney World. And I had a week of Disney. So I had a week of just churros and... just horrible nonsense. And then we had the plane, and then that night I went home and I like threw up so violently.
Oh my God.
But I didn't feel sick. I felt like there was acid inside of me.
Ooh.
And I threw up like a demon. like a and then I was just fine. Yeah. I was like, oh, got that out.
Oof.
But boy, it was just like all the horror, all the anxiety of a plane flight. Mm-hmm. It just destroyed my stomach. Now it's not just the flight. Obviously, it was a week of just eating like a complete and total asshole, which is what Disney is.
It really is.
You're like,
Disney,
oh, I'm gonna,
Disney is so hard on your body.
We're gonna be good. We're gonna be good. And it's like, no. How about we're gonna walk 12 hours a day, ruin
we're
our
gonna
feet,
eat
get
garbage.
Dehydrated, and then just eat sugar.
Yes.
Over and over. We're gonna
you
eat dessert
shit.
And then
yeah,
go to
exactly.
a dessert
you're
party.
Dehydrated too. Yeah, you're dehydrated, you're eating shit, and you're walking constantly. Like, you're putting your body through trials when you're there.
That's why you see children just having
complete
total
meltdowns. They tell you if you're going to go with a young kid, do half days.
Yeah.
Because you can't make it. They won't make it. And you're trying to push the kid. They're going to, like, they're going to shut off and just fall asleep, or they're going to scream.
Yeah.
So it's like, do the morning, eat something, and then go back to the pool.
Yeah.
And then maybe come back for the fireworks or the parade or something.
Right,
have
right.
dinner at the park or do whatever. But you cannot do a whole day in the park
the whole
with a young
day.
Child.
It's just brutal.
It's not going to happen.
It's absolutely brutal.
Oh. Which I feel like it's a more digestible way of doing Disney anyway. So I feel like we'll try to approach it that way if we make it.
Yeah, if I go back, I want to do that.
Mm.
The last time I went was the first time I'd gone in a long time. So there was a lot I wanted to do. But now there are things that I would be like, okay, I don't need to do that.
Mm. It's tough though, because you
like
figure
all of Animal Kingdom.
It's so cost prohibitive that a lot of families are going, and it's going to be the only time they go.
It's worrisome because it's becoming almost like only rich people can go, and it's real fucking sad.
Yeah, for a lot of reasons, just like they're not treating their employees well, and you know, it's not great. But I mean, so you're trying to get absolutely every dollar's worth of this trip, and sometimes it can end up making the trip like really unpleasant because you're forcing yourself to try to do everything
right. That's an interesting thing that I just thought of, which is you know, there's Disney depression when you come home from Disney.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if flights back from wherever you were going creates a different experience watching a film than flights to, because flights to, it's like, ooh, I'm going on vacation.
Right, yeah.
Things are exciting. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I'm not going to work this week. Blah, 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 blah,
mm-hmm,
blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the way back, it's like, you're so fucking tired.
Yeah.
You're just like,
back to real life. Or like,
God.
Especially from like resort places, like Caribbean places.
Now I gotta
or...
sit next to you for another fucking 5 hours. We just spent every second together.
Ooh, what about flights like from Vegas?
Oh my God, you just lost your child's like whole future.
Oh my God.
You just lost the mortgage. Your life is over.
Oh my God. People are just like burnt out on their last dime.
You've had your complete soul sucked out of your body.
Oh my gosh. Now I want to study this.
I know there's so many questions. You think there'd, I don't know, maybe there are lots of studies that I don't know of, but you think there'd be way more. Mm. I wonder, like, you, is there a better way to do it? You know what I mean? Like, is there any better way to do it than the way we do it? I don't know if there is. Like, the whole way that we do flying.
Travel or...
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
it's expensive and it's, you know, there's a lot of bells and whistles to make you feel safe that isn't, that really has been proven to not do anything. So just let people have liquid. Who gives a shit? One guy put a bomb in his shoe that didn't even go off because it was a bomb in a shoe that didn't work. So why can't I have water?
Yeah.
Stupid. So fucking stupid.
It is stupid because you can bring baby formula on, but you have to taste it. In front of the, you have to taste it.
So, but if you agent. Pull a Dread Pirate Roberts, where every day you have a little bit of poison.
You just had a little bit of poison. Or if you're gonna kill yourself anyway, I doubt it's like immediately gonna kill you. So yeah, sure, take a swig and yeah. Get on the plane.
Yeah, I guess they want to see if, like, if it's straight up acid or just you open it up and just gunpowder.
I mean, if you don't have a baby with you, that's the first hint. It's not baby formula.
Be like, this is my fetish, and you're fetish shaming me, and I drink. Me and my partner like to drink and squirt on each other baby formula.
All the time.
And we're bringing it with us to Fort Lauderdale.
And I think that's my right.
How are we supposed to go to hedonism without our, without our baby formula?
Oh, my gosh. Well, to that end, the vulnerability aspect is another reason why people have emotional responses. So it's
absolutely.
Even people, they say even people who are comfortable flying have some level of concern. So when you're right, vulnerable, course. All of your emotions are then heightened.
Right. Is there any, I mean, maybe people who fly constantly, but like, is there anybody who has no at all extra, like, is there anybody who's just like, ah, I don't care at all? There's got, you know, even people that are fine with it, they must be like one, you know,
you're
tenth of
a little
degree
bit, right?
More like,
yeah.
Hey, this is weird. I mean, it's weird it's weird.
It's weird. You have to have some kind of emotional response when you fly.
Do you see, with me, I need to be most distracted at liftoff. Liftoff is the scariest part for me because it's when you feel yourself going up and it's like, you know, I don't understand the science of it. I don't understand why we don't just fall out of the sky like Wile E. Coyote. That's what it feels like, you know, and, you know, you're racing down the, you know.
Yeah.
To me, that's the scary. And it's the loudest.
It's the loudest. You're putting the most stress on the plane.
Right.
So I feel like that's when things can fail, like, because you're pushing it to its limits. Well, you're really not pushing it to its limits, but, like, it feels like you are.
Right.
So that's, like, the nerve-wracking part.
You're relative to the ground.
Yeah. Once the flight attendants start moving around the cabin, I'm like, oh. I don't relax, though. I'm just like, okay. Like, one part of my spine, like, loosens up a little bit. The rest is...
Right.
Tight.
Well, I also read that, like, most accidents happen in liftoff or
landing. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So that's halfway, I'm like, here we go.
You're halfway through.
Yeah.
Like, probably not going to die unless I die on the landing.
Probably, but could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I don't know.
Have you ever taken drugs on a plane? Not recreational, but like your doctor gave you something.
I did a lot of meth on my last flight.
That would be terrible.
Not good.
Now,
not good.
One time I had like Xanax or something, like literally just to like chill out my anxiety. And it helped a little. Mm-hmm. It was probably the most calm I ever was on a plane.
I go through stages of like nervousness about flying. Like for a few years I was like, I was fine for most of my life. I always had like heightened concern, as they would say. But then for a few years, I got extremely anxious about it, to the point where I asked my doctor if she could prescribe like something for my next flight. And she gave me like a very, very low dose of Xanax, which I don't think worked at all because I had it and I just felt awful like the entire flight. So I just didn't do that again. So I have taken something. Oh, God, I probably shouldn't tell the story, but my mom took Ambien on a flight before a flight to Portugal, and she took it too early.
Oh, boy.
So she stayed for too long.
Oh, okay. Oh, and she just started seeing
shit? She started tripping.
I thought you had to weaken and Bernie her onto the plane.
We kind of did. Like, no, she wasn't asleep, but she was just out of it. So we had to like escort her to her seat and then talk to the flight attendants and be like, we're so sorry. Like, she just took an Ambien too early. So now she's like
bananas.
She'll fall asleep, I'm sure. But they're like, we see this all the time.
Yeah,
don't
I'm
worry.
Sure
they were just like, everything. It's fine. But she was really like tripping. Wow. She was telling us, like, we were in the waiting area and there was a poster on one of the columns that had like a woman on it.
Yeah.
And she kept looking in that direction. She's like, I think I know her. And we're like, who, Mom? She's like, oh, she's staring at me. Can you just, she's staring at me. Like, I don't know. She just keeps looking at me.
It's a literal poster.
Do I know her? It was a poster. So Bill was like, okay. And like went over to the poster and pretended to talk to it and came back and was like, no, she doesn't know you. And she was like, oh, okay. It was wild. Wow. We're like, oh God, get this woman on the plane. Get her to
that
sleep.
That is wild.
She was tripping balls.
Holy shit. Yeah, I've never experienced that.
No.
How come they don't do video games? Like, I know you could bring your own thing, like a Game Boy or like a Switch, but like, I wonder like why there aren't like PlayStation, like in the with the controller, like on the back of the scene. Especially because like that could be a total selling point. Like we have PlayStation 5 and all the newest consoles. Games.
Let's see.
Because I've never seen it. I mean, if Exhibit from Pimp My Ride made planes, there'd just be video games everywhere.
This just says you can pack it on, but no.
Maybe because of the violence in video games.
Maybe.
They don't want you, like, shooting at people and stuff.
Let's see. I guess they probably wouldn't include it because they'd be liable. I mean, I'm just guessing because I don't know. They'd probably be more liable to break. So you wouldn't want to have that expense of having to replace them.
You just think somebody at this point would have had that as a selling point.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I'm just thinking about what is entertainment now.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone's ever done 3D.
Oh, 3D?
Yeah.
Not that I've seen, because I was just, you know, I mean, granted it was Wikipedia, but I was on the history of in-flight entertainment, and they pretty much go up to now, but it's mostly like you can just use your own. I'm sure they're trying to minimize their costs as much as possible.
Oh, I'm sure.
As like fuel and stuff has become more expensive, but because now they went from like full meals to like you're saying, like here's some chips.
I know it's bullshit. It's just sucks.
People used to dress up to fly.
I know you hear people say that, and it's like that sounds awful.
So you're uncomfortable already, and you're wearing like starchy clothing.
Yeah. Well, this has been a fantastic and educational episode of PCMC.
I think it was one of our more educational ones.
Yeah. It certainly was educational for me.
But I don't know. I find it all interesting. I think it's cool.
No, it opens up a can of worms, and I'm certainly going to keep thinking about it because there are... It's odd, right? Like, it's in the history of media culture, it's an odd little, like, asterisk.
Mm-hmm. Well, also because you figure, who's the flying population?
Right.
Like, people who can afford to fly, which is now becoming cost prohibitive again and was for many years something that only like the very rich or like business people did.
Right.
And so like it's always had this intrinsic relationship with film, like right from the very beginning it felt like film and flight go together. But also it's a very specific audience that is watching it.
Right.
So I don't know. It's an odd thing.
Well, if it started in the 20s, you would have had at that point movies, at least in cities, more geared toward an affluent audience.
Mm-hmm.
The earliest days up until like 1911, 1912, it was more like the Nickelodeons, and it's like you just like it was, you know, immigrants would go and it was like real cheap and it was like, you know, like not a lot going on. And then like once it got popular off the back of working people, then they were like, let's build these big like palaces.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like from 1912 on. Mm-hmm. So it was thought of in that time where it was first appearing in planes. It would have been thought of as like glamorous.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, sure, like when flight was glamorous.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's why you dressed up.
Yeah.
You know, it's that whole feeling of like that 60s futurism. You know what I mean? Like,
retro futurism.
Yeah. It's like,
that.
Oh, we're in the future now.
Yeah.
Look, come on. We're in the 30s. We're on a plane that's playing a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't get better than this.
Mm-mm.
This is the height of sophistication.
No pun intended.
Yes. All right. Do you have any other points you wanted to get to?
No. I think it gives you a lot to think about. But I would say next time you're on a flight, just think long and hard about what you want to watch. And if it's going to be a good... I guess be more thoughtful about your movie choices on planes.
Yes.
Because you might create a really good experience for yourself and find a movie that you end up liking a lot. Who knows?
Yeah. Awesome. Well, this has been PCMC. Janine, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming with this in-flight entertainment.
That's it.
Concept. Because when you first pitched it to me, you were like, plane movies. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You're like, you want to do the airplane series? I'm like,
I was
no.
like, the Zucker Brothers? And then, but no, it turned out great. PCMC is, next week is the 200th episode.
I know. Can you believe it?
I honestly can't. We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.